And the first one, Dr. Friedenstein, is a person that I think laid the foundations for a substantial area of research that was carried out subsequently by other people, including Mike Dexter, myself, and we owe him a major debt for his pioneering work, and it's particularly exciting for us to have him come to this meeting. It's one of, I think, talking to him, it's only the second time that he has been outside the USSR at a scientific meeting. And so we'll begin with the first talk on stromal hematopoietic interrelationships, Maximov's ideas and modern models. Dr. Friedenstein.
Well, it's certainly an honor to speak here about Maximov's works in connection with modern problems of hematopoietic microenvironment. And it's also a great pleasure for me to participate in this meeting. And so I want to thank Dr. Knight for giving me the possibility to come to this meeting. The idea of stromal hematopoietic interactions was part of Maximov's theory of gametopoiesis, which he proposed more than 60 years ago. Maximov assumed that differentiation of hematopoietic stem cell descendants depend on what he called local conditions, which are generated by bone marrow stroma. Maximov's theory was far ahead of its time, and though Maximov was highly respected in the scientific community, his concept of local stromal conditions was met with skepticism. But now, this Maximov's idea raises no doubt. It was directly proved by Dexter cultures and, in fact, constitutes an essence of problem of the hematopoietic microenvironment as it is perceived in modern hematology. But the main question, that is, which of the stromal cells established the microenvironment, continues to provoke discussions. According to Maximov, the cells in question are the bone marrow fibroblasts or reticular cells. And I am going to speak about their microenvironmental functions and about possible diversity in hierarchy of the clonogenic precursors. At present, microenvironmental functions of stromal cells can be analyzed using two different procedures. The first way is to test the ability to transfer the microenvironment in vivo. And the second way, to test the capacity of maintaining hematopoiesis in vitro and to produce hematopoietic growth factors. The first model, first slide please. The first model is based on the results of heterotopic transplantation, either of marrow fragments or of marrow cell suspensions, which are grafted under, for example, a renal capsule, and these grafting results in the formation of new ossicles with the medullary cavity, in which the repopulated recipient cells proliferate and differentiate as in the ordinary bone marrow. In the heterotopic bone marrow organs, all the hematopoietic cells, or most of them, are of the recipient origin, which means that they are the cells which repopulated the new microenvironment. At the same time, they are direct proofs that the heterotopic microenvironment is established by engraftment of donor cells which remain non-replaced by the recipient cells. Thus, heterotopic transplantation makes it possible to test whether marrow fibroblasts can transfer and establish the microenvironment. This was done with diploid cultures of marrow fibroblasts. We grafted them under the renal capsule, and on the next slide, you'll see that the result was the formation of new bone marrow organs with the medullary cavity filled with hematopoietic cells, and the hematopoiesis which took place in this medullary cavity was also the usual one, including proliferation of stem cells, formation of committed precursors, and their differentiation. Dr. Pat has also shown that dependent of the origin of the engraftment marrow fibroblasts, they transfer not only the general pattern of the microenvironment, but also its details. For example, the density of hematopoietic cells in a would-be hematopoietic organs, or whether it would be a red or a yellow marrow. So, cultured marrow fibroblasts can transfer and establish the bone marrow microenvironment in vivo. On the other hand, cultures of pure marrow fibroblasts, as it was shown by Brockbank, may also be used successfully as underlayers for dental culture. They also produce, as it is well known, a vast set of hematopoietic growth factors. Thus, marrow fibroblasts are the microenvironmentally competent cells, but their population most probably is a heterogeneous one. And the next step in studying the hematopoietic microenvironment is to find out the genetic diversity of different types of marrow fibroblasts. At present, all fibroblasts, including those from hematopoietic and not hematopoietic organs, look quite alike. Next slide, please. So there are typical marrow fibroblasts in culture. And as you see, they can't be distinguished from other fibroblasts, say from the skin and so on. And there are no cytochemical markers and differences to distinguish fibroblasts of different origin. Second slide, please. All of them synthesize in culture 1 and 3 type collagen, and it is the main marker of fibroblasts in cultures. They lack the markers of macrophages and most markers of endothelial cells. However, the diversity of fibroblasts of marrow origin and the diversity of between fibroblasts of marrow origin compared to, say, stromal spleen fibroblasts certainly exists. For example, if rabbit spleen fibroblasts are grafted under the renal capsule, they form not a bone marrow organ, but some sort of lymphoid organ where no hematopoiesis takes place, and on the contrary, which is filled with proliferating lymphocytes and no bone capsule is formed in such an organ. The source for marrow fibroblast cultures are stromal colony-forming cells, or stromal colony-forming units, CFUF. Second slide, please. Well, the colony-forming units of stromal melanocytes, or stromal fibroblasts, are tested in such a way that single marrow suspensions are expanded at low initial density in liquid marrow cultures. The precursors of fibroblasts, means CFUF, are highly adherent cells, and so they stick to the surface of the glass of the vessel. And in 10 days, they form fibroblast colonies, which are self-cloned. These fibroblasts may be passaged in two different ways. First, you can passage the total amount of colonies, or you can passage the colonies one by one. In the first way, you get the multi-colony-derived fibroblast strains, which are diploid and have a high proliferative capacity. In the second way, you have the single colony-derived fibroblast strains, which are the clone cultures. Then these cultures may be either engrafted heterotopically to learn whether they transfer or don't the marker environment, or they can be transplanted in diffusion chambers to learn their differentiation capacity of the pool of colonies or of separate colonies. It can be easily shown that morphologically, CFUF colonies are certainly heterogenic. Second slide. Next slide. That is, that are individual colonies, stand for alkaline phosphatase. You can see that some of the colonies are negative, the others are positive. Next slide, please. Is the other based from the culture. Different cytochemical reactions can be used, and such diversity also exists when using these reactions. Next slide, please. Some of the colonies consist of spreaded fibroblasts, like here. The others of blanket cells. Next slide, please. Other colonies are the mixture of two kinds of fibroblasts. Or some colonies may be even mineralized. However, all these phenotypic differences cannot serve as good markers for CFUF diversity, because they are non-stable during recloning. What we know is that CFUF differ by their differentiation potency. Thank you. When single colony-derived cultures of marrow fibroblasts from the rabbit were tested by transplantation in diffusion chambers, it was found that some of the colonies, some of the single colony-derived strains, formed simultaneously bone and cartilage. Next slide, please. As it is shown here, is the result of transplantation in the chamber of single colony-derived fibroblasts, which form simultaneously cartilage and bone, two different states. Some of the single colony-derived cultures one only bone or a tissue which resembles the reticular tissue, that one cannot be certainly sure that it's a real reticular tissue. In the chambers which were grafted with cultures, which formed bone and cartilage, some of this reticular-like tissue is also formed. Next slide, please. Here is this reticular tissue in question. These fibroblast cultures, the single colony derived fibroblast cultures, differ in their capacity to proliferate. Those who are osteogenic and form simultaneously bone and cartilage have a high proliferative capacity, which provides for less than 20 cell damage. Thank you. Next slide. CFUF, which initiate the cultures with osteochondrogenic potencies, are supposed to be skeletogenic or osteogenic stem cells. Anyway, they are highly proliferative, common precursors for both osteogenic cells and fibroblasts. strains of fibroblasts form only bone tissue and the less reticular-like tissue. The distribution of the CFUF are as it's shown here. The most interesting CFUF are those which give rise to cultures which form bone, cartilage, and maybe reticular tissue, because only these single cell derived cultures, when grafted heterotopically, form bone organs which are filled with hematopoietic tissue. That means that they transfer the hematopoietic microenvironment. Thus, Maximov's hypothesis that marrow fibroblasts are responsible for bone marrow microenvironment seemed to be confirmed by using this experimental model. One can speculate that several types of marrow fibroblasts are participating in establishing hematopoietic microenvironment, and that the microenvironment is a joint product of a network of different reticular cell types. Next slide. In situ, the CFUF bone marrow organ with the bone marrow cavity in which hematopoiesis takes place, which was formed by grafting of a single colony derived fibroblast strain. Next slide. In situ, the CFUF are outside the cycle, they are arrested in G0. And for a long time, it remained unnoticed that their recruitment into the cycle requires stimulation by some hematopoietic cells. It came to light only when the CFUF assay was performed in marrow cultures from which the non-adherent marrow cells were removed. The results of such experiment are shown here. In all the cultures, the metal cells were explanted with low initial density. After 1 hour, the non-aspirin cells were removed and the cultures were cultivated for 10 days. Now, some of the cultures were supplemented with different numbers of irradiated metal cells instead of the cells which were removed after 1 hour of cultivation. Other cultures were not supplemented with metal killer cells. Here they are. You see that the colony formation is this non-supplemented culture did not take place. That means that the CFF did not proliferate. The cultures were maintained with different concentrations of serum, 1%, 5%, and 20%. And even with 20% of serum, no colony formation without supplementary killer cells took place. But if the cultures were supplemented with killer cells, then the usual colony formation, the usual efficiency of colony formation could be obtained. And it was the highest with high concentration plus killer cells were used. Next slide, please. You can see here such cultures. This is the non-supplemented with killer cell culture. And this was the supplemental one. This is the number of splinter cells. And this is the same, those are the same experiment. Now, what was found that the supplementing feeder cells, which stimulate the colony formation, the fibroblast colony formation, were simply platelets. Now, I must mention that these cultures were maintained in with high serum concentration in the medium. That means that they were cultured with high amounts of PDGA. On the other hand, if PDGA was added into the culture additionally, instead of platelets, there was no effect. Which means that probably platelets have some colony stimulating factor which stimulates proliferation of fibroblasts which are initially in G0 period, which is necessary for CFUF colony formation. Thus, CFUF colony formation depends on stimulating factors, one of them, which remain to be identified and which is produced by hematopoietic cells or their descendants. That means that the interaction of hematopoietic and stromal cells maybe goes in two directions. This stimulation of hematopoietic cells, which is usually meant when we are speaking about the matter environment, but it is take place also in the opposite direction. The hematopoietic cells can stimulate and maybe are the necessary stimulators of proliferation of the resting stromal matter cells. Now to finish my talk, I would like to return to Maximov's last work which appeared in 1928 in Archiv für Experimentelle Zellforschung. It was entitled Cultures of Blood Leukocytes from Lymphocyte and Monocyte to Connective Tissue. Thank you. This work described the development of fibroblasts in plasma clot cultures of blood cells. However, it was later disproved on the grounds of two objections. Objection one was that fibroblasts could be components of the vessel walls which contaminate blood during sampling. And objection two was that they were not true fibroblasts. The problem of circulation of fibroblasts, precursors in blood, sometimes is discussed at present. Objection number one, that means that the colony, the fibroblasts contaminate blood during sampling, turned out to be invalid when CFUF colony assay was used for culturing blood, circulating blood cells. Luria from the Gamaleya Institute in Moscow showed that numbers of CFUF colonies in cultures of blood cells were in a linear relation to the numbers of the explanted leukocytes and independent on the number of punctures which were made for blood collection. Now, I wish to demonstrate that the cells in Maximus blood cultures were true fibroblasts, which means that they synthesize 1 and 3 type collagens. Next slide, please. Next slide, please. Here are such cultures. You see the individual colonies by naked eyes. Next slide, please. And here are the cells which compose this colony. They are typical fibroblasts by morphology. Next slide, please. That is the other colony which you see consists the same cell of different shape, but it means nothing. Next slide, please. What means is that the cell, the fibroblast, synthesize first type collagen. Next slide, please. And third type collagen. Next slide. Well, before showing you Maximus, I must conclude that it remains not known where from CFUF migrate into blood and where they settle, but their circulation may happen to be significant for understanding of the role of fibroblasts in establishing hematopoietic microenvironment. Anyway, the story about circulating CFUF demonstrates that Maximov's experimental results, not only his ideas, are so topic that virtually Maximov still remains the participant of the present day research. That's why I would like to show you Maximov's work in St. Petersburg. Maximov on the left. Next, please. Maximov on the right. He is taking blood from the rabbit. Next slide, please. So he is going to centrifuge this blood. Here is Maximov. Next slide, please. Here is the beginning of preparing the cultures in plasma cloth system. Next slide, please. Next slide, please. And that's the modern thermostat. Next slide, please. That's all, thank you.
Well, it's really nice to see the father of a field. Two fathers, actually. This is another one. questions. We have a time for a couple of questions. Yes, Eric, could you come to a microphone, please?
In the single colony transfer experiments, where you had 50% of the colonies being showing full competence for osteogenesis and chondrogenesis in the reticular tissue, did you do any experiments which tested whether the cells that gave rise to those colonies were able to self-renew and make additional colonies? I mean, did the full range of differentiation correspond in any way with self-renewal?
Do you mean the recloning?
Of the fibroblast colonies?
Yes. Do
you mean the recloning of cells
from
initial fibroblast colonies?
Yeah, you show that, in those experiments, that some colonies, but not all, gave all the lineages.
What did they
okay.
do?
When you did the single colony transplantation experiment,
yes.
some of the colonies were able to differentiate into bone, cartilage, and reticular tissue.
In question.
Yes. Did you do any experiments, for example, to split colonies and transplant some of the cells and replate some of the cells to try and correlate self-renewal of the clonogenic cell with differentiation?
That's what we did. We had cultures which were single colony derived.
So all the colonies that gave rise to bone, cartilage, and reticular tissue,
yes.
they all self-renewed.
I don't understand.
Alex, maybe I'll talk to you about it after. Maybe it's a bit complex.
I think it's trying to establish whether there is the question of pluripotentiality. Is this your question? That whether the fibroblast clone can reclone as a pluripotential cell capable of giving rise to all of the different components of the bone, cartilage, etc. Is that?
That's right.
Yes.
They do. All those colonies do.
Yes. It's what we did is that maintaining such single cell colonies, single cell cultures, we were grafting them in the diffusion chambers on different passages. That means that the line of the common precursor suddenly exists in the strain. But what we don't know, whether all the CFUF, which were generated in such cultures, were also polypotential.
Okay. Thank you.
Any further questions? I would just like to mention we've done some studies with xenografting of human fibroblast colonies in nude mice. And we see the same pattern of bone marrow development with an interesting chimeric situation where some of the murine components are involved in the development of the bone, for example, osteoclasts and hematopoietic elements, with the other components of the bone being of human origin.